Hey everyone, before we read, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the free availability of your word to us. Please keep our hearts and minds open and clear as we look at this section of your message to us tonight. And we pray you'll be with the Kids for Jesus leaders as they take our little ones through your word as well. Amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, starting from verse 10 and going through to the end of the chapter. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Hello again. Well, we've reached the last part of Paul's letter to the Ephesians tonight. It's taken us 9 weeks. In a lot of ways, though, I feel like we've really raced through it. But it is nice to reach the end and kind of wrap it up and bring it all together. And that is very much what Paul does in this last little section. He sort of pulls together and really summarizes a lot of the things that we've been reading. So look, because it's our last talk in the series, and because Paul kind of wraps it all up neatly, we're going to be referring back to a few different parts of Ephesians tonight, so it's going to be really helpful to have Ephesians open in our Bibles in front of us. One of the great things about living in Australia is the absence of war and conflict. That's often touted as one of the blessings of living here. Now, of course, there were two world wars that we were involved in, and those world wars had a deep and a profound effect on generations of Australians, but they were 70-something years ago. More recently than that, there's been war in the Middle East, and with the global access we now have, we saw those wars unfold on our screens. Even a decade, though, seems like a long while back. In the normality of everyday life, it's easy to forget, I think, that as recently as 2014, the Lint Cafe siege happened in the middle of Sydney. Hostages were taken, people were killed. Just last year, barely 6 months ago, in the middle of Melbourne, in the CBD, a vehicle was set on fire. People were attacked, deliberately targeted in a terror attack, the middle of Melbourne, just last year. In fact, in the last 5 years, there's been 8 terror attacks in Australia. All of them directly related to the fact that right now, Australia is at war. Easy to forget, but right now, Australia is fighting not one, but two wars spread out over six different countries in the Middle East, in North Africa. In fact, right now, Australia is actually in its longest ever period of continuous warfare, 18 years and counting. But as far as day-to-day life goes for us here in Bathurst, it's pretty easy to forget, isn't it? Paul writes this last part of Ephesians because he doesn't want us to forget that there's a war going on. Paul wants us to know that there's a war going on, there was a war going on in the church in Ephesus. And in fact, Paul wants us to know that that same war is still going on. It's still going on today, and it's still going on right here at Night Church. Paul wants us to know this war is much more serious than the wars that Australia's involved in now. Paul wants us to know that this war is far more dangerous, far more desperate, and far more deadly. But despite all that, and in fact more than all that, what Paul really wants us to know is that in this war, as serious as it is, in this war we can stand firm and we can stand confident in Christ Jesus. Point one on your outline, Paul tells us all about the war that we're in. It's a spiritual war, he says. It's a war against the forces of Satan. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our struggle, Paul says, it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's against the devil and his schemes. That sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? But you know what? Paul has actually already told us about the devil and his schemes. We know exactly what they are because Paul told us back in chapter 3. So if you've got your Bible there, flip back to chapter 3. This is the first time that we come across these forces of evil in the heavenly realms that Paul's talking about here. Chapter 3, verse 10. It says there that God's intent is that through the church, through us, through the church, his manifold wisdom should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's the same rulers and authorities that Paul's talking about in chapter 6. Through the church, through God uniting us here tonight, through the church, God's manifold wisdom is on display. As the church gathers, united in Christ, it is nothing less than the victory of the gospel proclaimed to the universe. The devil really, really doesn't like that. And so it's no surprise, is it, that he attacks us and he attacks our unity. Now turn in your Bible to chapter 4, verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 25, Paul there, he reminds us that we're members of one body. We're united together in Christ. We're members of one body. And so then he says, having reminded us of that, he then says, "Don't sin in your anger and give the devil a foothold." Sinning in our anger, that's a surefire way to let the devil come in and fracture our unity. Sinning in our anger, that's a surefire way of letting the devil come in and bring disunity amongst us and between us and Christ. The devil just loves when we are angry, when we sin against each other, because that's when we turn each other away from Jesus. Probably the most influential book ever written on war strategy, you may have heard of it, it was actually written some 2,500 years ago by a Chinese guy named Sun Tzu. A book's called The Art of War. Very ancient Chinese text. And the most famous line from the book, "Know your enemy." Know your enemy. Friends, we know our enemy. Paul has told us about the devil and his schemes. The devil uses everyday things, ordinary things, things like anger, things like fights, frustrations, bitterness, disappointments, discouragement. These are the things that the devil uses to undermine our unity with one another and our unity with Christ. Paul's told us about his schemes. Just the last few chapters that we've been reading, lies, unchecked lust and desire, greed, unhelpful words, gossip, slander, selfish relationships rather than selfless relationships. All of those unloving things, those are the things that the devil uses to fracture us so that we can't grow together in maturity in Christ. This is everyday reality for people who belong to Jesus. We are in a war zone. So look, I hope you're taking this war seriously. Because the devil, he is using every ounce of his power to see our church crumble. He is using every ounce of his strength to see that Night Church loses its focus on Jesus. So look, if you've been wrestling with the things that we've been reading in Ephesians, if you've been wrestling, fighting to put off the old self and put on the new self, if you've been working hard to put off anger and put on forgiveness, husbands, if you've been working hard to love sacrificially, and wives, if you've been working hard to submit selflessly, if you've been working hard to speak helpful gospel words in every situation, good on you. That's fantastic, isn't it? Because you're fighting to live the new life that you've been given in Christ. And if this year you've been wrestling seriously with your growth challenges, you've been working hard to grow and to help others grow in godliness and in serving Jesus, good on you. If you've been working hard at those things, though, don't be surprised if they're hard. Don't be surprised if all kinds of distractions pop up to keep you from serving Jesus and serving your church family. Don't be surprised when you sit down to search out the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that's when you find that you are most tired and most distracted. Satan is using all his power to distance us from one another and from Christ. And it would be a mistake for us to underestimate the power of the devil and his schemes. But you know, it would be so much worse. It would be so much worse to underestimate the power of Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is victorious. And Paul, here, he has so much confidence in the victory of Jesus. And that confidence, you can see it comes out in verse 13. Have a look at verse 13. Paul says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." The day of evil, it's today. Today is the day that the devil wants to separate us from Christ. It's not some future day. It's not something that you can think about later on, worry about next year. It's here already. Today is the day. And yet Paul, he's still full of confidence. He's confident because God himself provides armor in this fight. It is God's own armor that keeps us safe. Putting on the armor, it's nothing about what we do. It's all about what God has already done. And what God's already done is raise Christ in victory. So in Ephesians, again, flip back to chapter 1 this time, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20, it says that God has raised Christ, defeated death, raised Christ, and seated Christ at his right hand, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Now, keeping that in mind, look just above that verse to verse 19. That power that raised Christ from the dead and gave him ultimate authority, that same power, verse 19 says, is for us who believe. It is for Christ's church. That's incredible, isn't it? No wonder Paul is so confident. Now just look down to chapter 2, verse 6. It's probably on the same page in your Bible. Chapter 2, verse 6 says that God's raised us. God's raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Compared to Christ and his power and his victory, the devil and his schemes, they are nothing. And so the devil, well, he's kind of like a lion at the zoo. A real lion, you know, 200 kilos of powerful muscle, teeth that'll crunch your bones and claws that'll tear you to shreds. But he's captive. He's captive behind an impenetrable fence. Captive behind a plate glass viewing window. Not harmless, but at the same time, completely harmless. Now, sure, if you want to jump the fence into the enclosure, well, you're an idiot, and you would be right, wouldn't you, to be terrified. But as long as you're on the right side of the fence, you can relax, you know? Enjoy your day at the zoo. Eat your ice cream. Take a selfie. Turn your back on that lion. It doesn't matter. You can relax. You're safe. You're confident. In Christ, we're safe. We're confident. Because the devil is powerless. Powerless against those who stand firm in Christ. Sometimes people ask me why we don't spend more time, particularly in our Bible talks here at BPC, why we don't spend more time talking about the devil, the reality of the devil. It's a fair question, because the devil is real. But right here in Ephesians is the answer. You know, the fact that there's lions in Sydney never makes the news. Now, if they escaped from Taronga Zoo and started roaming the streets, that would be newsworthy. That would make the news. That would probably be cause for mass panic. Satan gets very little airtime in the Bible. And it's for the exact same reason. He's captive. He's defeated. The risen Jesus rules. Christ reigns in victory. And it's with that confidence that Paul says to us, put on the armour of God. Paul describes that armour for us in verse 14. Have a look at verse 14. He says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now this armour here, it's not some magical formula for living the Christian life. This is actually just a summary of so much of what Paul has already told us. Paul's talked a lot in this letter, hasn't he, about living out the new lives that we have in Christ. That's what this is. Paul uses the image of a Roman soldier with all of his different bits of gear that for a Roman soldier, they were essential for his safety. This is to remind us of the gospel. This is to remind us of the necessity of these gospel things. This is to remind us to stand firm in the gospel. It is all about what God's done. It's all about what God's doing. It's all about the wonderful gospel of Christ Jesus. All the pieces of the armour are references to different parts of the gospel. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the Spirit. They're all different parts of the one wonderful piece of good news. That Christ died for our sins on the cross. And that happens as part of God's eternal plan to sum up all the world and all of history in Christ. And you know, the extraordinary privilege for us in all of that is that as Christ's church, as his body, we are right at the center of those plans too. And so when Paul says, put on the full armor of God, he's telling us to stand firm in that gospel. Don't desert the gospel. Don't wander away from Jesus. Don't ever give up on hearing about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Don't ever give up on speaking gospel truth with gospel love to one another. Because that's how we strengthen our church family. That's how we stand against the devil's schemes. Paul says, stand firm. We don't ever want to move on from the gospel. There's nothing better than the gospel. There's nothing more worthwhile than the gospel. There's no upgrade from the gospel. You know, it's not like your mobile phone. There's no better version coming next year. We don't ever want to get bored of the gospel. If you ever find yourself wishing for something more engaging here at church than just hearing the gospel again, if you ever find yourself wishing for something more exciting to do here than just talk with one another about the gospel, then you haven't heard the message of Ephesians. The message of Ephesians is that before the foundation of the world, we were loved and we were chosen for adoption and redemption by the blood of Jesus. We were chosen for forgiveness and inclusion and salvation. The gospel is the story of God's grace that he has lavished on us in Christ. The gospel is the story of how once we were dead in our sin, we were separate, excluded, foreigners, hopeless, godless. We were in hostility with God and with one another. And yet now, because of Jesus, we're alive. We're alive in Christ, who has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. And all of that, a generous gift of grace from God. The gospel is the manifold wisdom of God. It is beautiful in its many layers. It is stunning from every angle. It is breathtaking every time we come back to it. We don't ever, ever want to get bored of hearing the gospel here at Night Church. We don't ever want to move on from the absolutely remarkable task of speaking that wonderful gospel into each other's lives here. We don't ever want to get bored of that. We don't ever want to move on from that. We want to grow up together in maturity in Christ as each part of the body does its work. We do that by standing firm together in the gospel. We want to pray that we'd stand firm in the gospel. Paul finishes with a reminder to pray. Have a look at verse 18. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. All occasions, all kinds of prayer, always pray for all the saints. Paul's pretty serious about us praying here at Night Church. And you know, Paul's modelled that exact kind of prayer for us, hasn't he? He did it in chapter 1, in chapter 3. We pray for each other. We pray for each other that we know Christ more and more. We pray for each other that we would have the supernatural power needed to grasp the width and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. There is no such thing as small or insignificant prayer. Those kinds of prayers are big prayers. In verse 19, you can see there that Paul, he desperately wants the Christians in Ephesus to be praying those things for him. We want those prayers for us. We want to pray those prayers for each other. I hope you've got a plan to pray for your church family. You know, every Sunday, at 5 p.m. just before night church starts. A bunch of people get together just out here, the room around the corner, to pray these kinds of prayers. Honestly, it's pretty hard to imagine a more significant thing to be doing at 5 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. Because as we stand firm together in the gospel, when we pray these kinds of prayers for one another, the devil's just not in the picture. Friends, there's a war going on, and we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it, but we're confident. We're confident because we have the armor of God. We're confident because from eternity past to eternity future, God's eternal plans, his cosmic plans, they all revolve around Christ Jesus and his church. As Christ's church, we know that we're deeply loved. As Christ's church, we've been told that we are new creations. We are God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ to do good works, the good works that God has prepared for us to do. That's not something we take lightly. So let's stand firm in the gospel. Let's stand firm by doing those good gospel things here at Night Church. Let's speak helpful gospel words with one another. Let's live our relationships full of the gospel for the sake of each other, for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of his church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this letter. Thank you for the wonder of the gospel. Father, thank you for the extreme grace that you've extended to us in making us your beloved church. Father, we would love to see your church grow and flourish as together we stand firm in the gospel. So, Father, please may the gospel of Christ be at the center of everything we do and at the center of everything we say. And, Father, we pray this confidently because of the confidence that we have in your Son, Jesus. Amen.